Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips always. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is indeed December 24th in the year of our Lord, 2021, Christmas Eve. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, Focus on Christ Friday. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is hour one of two. And our goal always to tell the tale of liberty, to focus on the Savior Jesus Christ, to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. That's who we are. That's what we do on your radio. We are live for Christmas Eve, ladies and gentlemen. The incredible music you hear in the background. Wow. Merry Christmas from Liberty Roundtable live. Yes, we're live for Christmas Eve. Yeah, where Shepherd lately knelt. It's an American Heritage Schools a cappella choir. It was recorded November 15th, 2017, literally in the open court of the school there. Amen, ladies and gentlemen. Amen, indeed. It was not recorded professionally at all, but it's gone viral. It's telling the tale of Christmas like nobody's business. You gotta love it. Just good, honest, faith-filled students on a mission. The mission is to tell the story of Christ. That is our mission every day. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, and a Merry Christmas to all of you from us, the Liberty Roundtable team. And here to tell the story with me, first hour anyway, Mr. Chris Carlson. He's a citizen reporter. He's now, because we put him on the radio, a newsmaker, co-host of Liberty Roundtable Live Friday morning's first hour, telling the tale of liberty to the best of his ability as well. Chris, welcome and Merry Christmas to you and your family, sir. Hey, Chris, buddy. Merry Christmas, sir. All right, well, we'll try to get Chris back one of these times here. In the meantime, we got a lot of hard-hitting talk straight ahead on your radio, folks. I'll tell you what. We need to celebrate the birth of the Savior with purpose, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be serious on this first focus of Christmas. Have you done your shopping yet? You got it all done? Cameron, do you got all your shopping done yet? No? Oh, he got it all done. He's already done. He's not only done, he's already opened his gifts. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to, that's supposed to be Christmas. He likes to cheat. What? What's the matter with you? This is Christmas. You don't cheat, for crying out loud. By the way, Chris, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, sir. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Amen. Have you done your shopping, sir?
Yes, sir. Sorry about the lapse. I've got it all done. I need to run out and get my Donald Trump no action figure, though, now, Sam. Have you heard about this toy?
No
for adult
action.
Children?
Wait a minute. I thought they were called action figures.
Oh. Well, normally they are, but this one doesn't do anything, Sam, so we have to call it a no action figure. You want to hear about it?
Absolutely. So no action figures. Those ought to be easy to create. All you got to do is not create them.
Yep, and Donald Trump is the perfect person to make a no action figure on. So this is for your favorite sycophantic Trump supporter, Sam. It's guaranteed to satisfy constituents who demand excuses rather than results. But because Donald Trump failed to balance trade with China, all of the Donald Trump no action figures are currently buried under a cargo container of melamine contaminated baby formula waiting to be unloaded off the coast of California. Hey, but that's okay. They are doing the same thing there that they would be doing under your Christmas tree or in the Oval Office. Nothing. Actually, that's not entirely true, Sam. In some cases, the Donald Trump no action figure gives you excuses for not upholding his oath of office to faithfully execute the laws of the land. For example, here's what Donald Trump no action figure says when you ask Mr. Trump whatever happened to lock her up. Remember that? Lock her up. Lock her up. So, do you have that soundbite?
Lock no. her up.
Lock her up. Remember Hillary Clinton?
That was all talk. Let me make this clear. That was no action.
That was no action.
From
right.
the no action figure.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's do Trump loves and endorses Hillary, shall we? Trump loves Hillary. I thought he said lock her up, though.
Yeah. Well, he changed his mind. He found love in his heart for Hillary, I guess.
Cameron, buddy, Trump loves Hillary.
Hillary Clinton, I think, is a terrific woman. I mean, I'm a little biased because I've known her for years. I live in New York. She lives in New York. And I've known her and her husband for years. And I really like them both a lot. And I think she really works hard. And I think she, again, she's given an agenda that's not all of her. But I think she really works hard. And I think she does a good job. And I like her.
Do you think that she says she's out at the end of this term? You think we're going to see her again running for office?
I think so. I think, you know, assuming she's healthy, which I hope she will be, I think she probably runs after the next 4 years, I would imagine.
You support her?
I don't want to get into this because I'll get myself into trouble. But
that's
just
why
like
I asked
her.
You to see if we get in trouble.
I just like her. I like her, and I like her husband. Her husband made a speech on Monday at Mar-a-Lago, and it was very well received. And he's a really good guy, and she's a really good person and woman.
Hillary wants to blame everyone else for her mounting legal troubles. And I don't see, if you've watched her last few speeches over the last few days, she has become totally unhinged.
Iker, I love her and her husband. We both live in New York. We've been friends for generations. I mean, this is incredible. But she's absolutely blaming everybody for her own legal troubles, and she's unhinged. Bottom line is, lock her up turned into no action, Chris.
That's right. And then let's go to another thing that the Donald Trump no action figure says if you ask it. So what if you say something like, hey, Trump, what are you going to do about George Soros, who is funding subversive organizations like Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Huh? What are you going to do about George Soros?
They asked that very question on the campaign trail, and here's what Don's response was. Nope. George. Leave George alone. All right. Anyway, let's move along, ladies and gentlemen. So the bottom line is, George Soros basically said, hey, you know what? Leave George alone. We're not interested in George. Just leave him alone. Just don't bug George. So George Soros and Donald are really good friends. In fact, George Soros in Chicago helped fund Donald Trump's hotels. So there you go, Chris.
That's
no
right.
action once again. Leave him alone.
300. Yeah, leave him alone. Well, you don't.
Oh, forget Soros.
The media loves Obama.
He's got enough problems. She goes, what about Soros? Let's talk about somebody else.
There you go.
That's right. From the horse's mouth itself. So this is a perfect gift, Sam, for your favorite sycophantic Trump supporter. It's guaranteed to satisfy constituents who demand excuses rather than results. So get your Donald Trump no action figure today in time for Christmas.
Oftentimes, though, when it comes to legislative agendas, you know, that we really want to accomplish, things that the Republicans have promised to do forever, abolishing the education department comes to mind. Getting rid of Obamacare comes to mind. Getting rid of, you hear nothing but crickets, Chris. That's all you get out of these people.
Well, don't ask them about the federal. There you go. There's your crickets. Ask them about the Federal Reserve System, the corrupt Federal Reserve System that's robbing America blind and allowing them to create out-of-control inflation. They won't say a word about that.
And you say, Sam, why do you guys start out this hard-hitting segment for Christmas Eve right when you play this beautiful choir music? I'll tell you why. Because in 1913, ladies and gentlemen, right at Christmas, they passed the Federal Reserve Act. We've had 100-plus years now of dishonest money, fiat currency abuse, and now inflation rears its ugly head to the point where Americans are starting to melt down for Christmas. Sad but true. Quick pause. This is Christmas Eve, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Christmas to you from us, the Liberty Roundtable Live team. You know, we were pretty hard on Trump there, and you say, why, Sam? Trump's a good guy. He's done a lot of good, folks, but he's also had a lot of promises, a lot of missteps. Lock up Hillary's one of them. He didn't even in good faith do anything to even investigate Hillary for her hard drive scandals, the deleting of information, right on through to her nonprofit organizations raking in just boatloads, billions of dollars in cash, etc. That's a serious problem indeed, folks, especially when the swamp then turned against him and literally took him out of office, and now we're complaining election fraud. Wow, maybe if we would have locked up Hillary and crew, honestly, maybe we wouldn't have had to worry about election fraud. Just saying. All right, let's move on to a bunch of positive Christmas news and real solutions for the country. There's an incredible, incredible story told by Glenn Rossin. All right? And it's called The Christmas Gift of Freedom, a very patriotic gift. Here's Glenn. We'll talk about it.
Thank you for joining us. This is Glenn Rossin. It's Christmas time. I want to begin with a question, if you don't mind. Does God care about human freedom? Can a man be saved in bondage? Now, these are important questions. By way of an answer, I have an unusual Christmas story I would like to share with you. It's December 1776. The tattered remnants of George Washington's Continental Army are camped in the open on the banks of the Delaware River, where once they had been some 20,000 in number, bold and strong. Now, they are less than 6,000. Where once they had soundly defeated the British at Lexington and Concord, now, they are a decimated band running for their lives across the frozen New Jersey landscape with the British in hot, humiliating pursuit. And now here they are, huddled around fires to keep from freezing. Their rations are reduced to starvation subsistence, even living on tree bark. Their inadequate clothing is nothing more than filthy rags hanging on emaciated bodies. They are dejected and defeated, as beaten psychologically as they are physically. And yet, for all of us, on this ragtag group of men hangs all the hopes of the American Revolution. This is the Army. They are all that stand between America and avowed British tyranny. Consider, if you will, General Washington. At this time, he is about as burdened a man as ever lived. Many are calling for his resignation, even within the Continental Congress. Officers within his own command are openly murmuring against him and positioning to replace him. Desertion within the ranks of his army are rampant and daily. And here he stands on the banks of the Delaware with an army seemingly too weak to fight, feeling the weight and carrying the blame of the American plight. Meanwhile, across the river in Trenton, safe and warm are the Hessian mercenaries left by General Howe to hold Washington's pitiful army at bay. He could have finished them at any time, but it is widely known that on December 31st, the enlistments of Washington's army will expire. The men will go home. The British see no need to attack and finish him off. Cold, starvation, desertion, it will finish the fight for them. All the British and the Germans need do is sit and watch while the American Revolution collapses upon itself. And the dream, that arrogant dream of American freedom, dies with it. I don't need to tell you, this is a monumental historical moment. At one of the lowest points, Thomas Paine comes into camp, talking and mingling with the soldiers. He is deeply moved by their plight and sits down and, according to some, pens a pamphlet called The American Crisis on the Head of a Drum. These are some of those words he wrote at that critical time. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. 'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. End of quote. These words cause a storm through America. To the credit of the man and the power of heaven that moved him, Washington was inspired by these words and by the powers of heaven. He did not lie down in defeat. He rose from his knees, gathered his ragged and beaten army, and in the face of a terrible howling blizzard, crossed the Delaware on Christmas night, 1776. Several thousand men, cannon, and horses were ferried across the ice-choked black waters of the Delaware. From there, Washington marched his men 9 miles to Trenton, leaving bloody footprints in the snow as he went, in weather literally so cold that men froze to death the moment they sat down. At dawn, Washington does the impossible with the incapable. He attacks Trenton and the unsuspecting Hessians and captures the men and the city and loses not a single man in the battle. Inspired by that timely victory, the faltering fight for American freedom regains its momentum. Men reenlist. Volunteers come. Allies join. And the battle for freedom goes on to victory. Washington, over the next few days, captures Princeton and sufficient supplies to carry his men through the winter safely quartered at Morristown. But oh, think about that moment when it would have been so easy to give up the fight and quit. Thank God for that man. Thank God for those men. Little did they know how much their sacrifice would change the course of human history and change our lives. I tell you, with all of my soul, the cause of freedom is the cause of Christ. His birth signaled the opening of the prison doors. No man can be saved in bondage, political or spiritual. We must be free in heart and in person. Praise be to God for an oft-forgotten Christmas gift given by humble men and women at great cost. Thanks be to God, and Merry Christmas.
And a huge Merry Christmas to you from us, the Liberty Roundtable Live team. The poignant question is asked, does God care about human freedom? The answer, without a doubt, yes, he does. The Christmas Gift of Freedom by Glenn Ross. And it's available, by the way, if you want to share it with your loved ones at lovingliberty.net. Okay, that's our nationally syndicated radio network. You can get the live and on-demand phone apps for your Android and your iPhone. Apps are free. But you can go there, and there's a link that you can share with your loved ones and point people to that website. They can listen to that. It's a great Christmas gift, understanding the sacrifice, the blood, the sweat, the tears, all that the founding fathers put into our sacred cause of liberty. Does God care about human freedom? A resounding yes, he does, ladies and gentlemen. Serious, serious, serious business. When we come back, I've got more to add to this story about the founding fathers, because when they crossed the Delaware, I'm going to tell you how that all happened. It's one of my favorite stories that I tell as I speak across the country. I'll do that quick. We got a whole lot to talk about with Chris Carlson in seconds on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride. The Kim Potter guilty verdicts for the ex-Minnesota cop who killed Dante Wright during a traffic stop earlier this year ends the case. Kim Potter said she mistook her handgun for a taser as Mr. Wright fought with the officers in an attempt to flee an unrelated warrant arrest. Minnesota Attorney General Democrat Keith Ellison with a message for police.
We don't want you to be discouraged. And when a member of your profession is held accountable, it does not diminish you. In fact, it shows. It shows the whole world that those of you who enforce the law are also willing to live by it.
United Airlines has canceled 165 flights scheduled for today, about 8% of its planned schedule, and about 28 flights that were slated for Saturday. For more information on all flights around the world, visit flightaware.com. Merry Christmas to you and your family from our family. We are USA Radio News.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. Indeed will also give you this sticky frog, which will suddenly leap and stick to the face of the perfect hire. Okay, there's no sticky frog, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers three times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Most economists will tell you, when inflation smashes your economy like we're seeing today, quit spending new money. President Biden's massive social spending bill didn't get that memo.
President Biden says he's confident his Build Back Better agenda will be signed into law, despite bipartisan opposition to his $2 trillion social spending package. This comes after Congress passed a roughly $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. Louisiana Republican Congressman Steve Scalise joins Fox Business and says the president has been spending too much cash.
No bill should be $1 trillion or more. That's one of the reasons that you have this massive crises of inflation, supply chain, everything down the line.
The president and his Democratic colleagues say the package will help the economic recovery with support for things like child care and green jobs. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Merry Christmas from USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas. We are live on Christmas Eve. We talked about the incredible Glenn Rossin story, The Gift of Freedom for Christmas. And we asked the poignant question, does God care about freedom? Yes, he does. You know, Glenn Rossin talked about crossing the Delaware. And that really reminds me the backstory or part of that story that Glenn did not have time to get to really has to do with this group you probably know nothing about that the Founding Fathers were involved with was called the Marblehead Regiment. In Marblehead, Massachusetts, there was a bunch of fishermen that, you know, went up on the seas and they made their living fishing. Coincidentally, the fishermen are the saviors. And the savior called fishermen, did he not? So there's a correlation there. But I bring this up because these men under General Glover, John Glover is his name, and General John Glover led his men. They crossed rivers many times and literally saved George Washington's army. And George Washington got the name of kind of the great retreater. Why would this general, this great warrior, always retreat, retreat, retreat? Because he had no choice but to see another day. But anyway, in most of these retreats, and then this eventually assault on Trenton, was literally led by the Marblehead Regiment. They had no way to get across these rivers. Literally huge chunks of ice, ladies and gentlemen. And General John Glover was just a hardened seafaring man, and these men were just rock solid, and they'd use these huge poles to push their boats away from huge chunks of ice, that if the chunks of ice were to hit the boats, it would literally sink them. Freezing cold water. So cold, they say, that if you sit down, you die, kind of stuff. But these men literally ferried the soldiers out of harm's way over and over and over in retreats. And then on the offensive on Trenton, General John Glover and the Marblehead Regiment literally made that possible. We hear about, oh, they went on the assault, they hiked for a long time, and then they made the assault in the morning. But you don't hear about crossing the river in the middle of the night with virtually no lights in storms. You don't hear about this incredible Marblehead Regiment that really made the revolution possible. No one even knows General John Glover's name or the Marblehead Regiment. No one knows who they are. They're the unsung heroes of the American Revolution. What we need in our day, Chris, is unsung heroes, people who don't look for credit, but people who nevertheless save our nation from destruction, sir.
Yeah, in the document that Thomas Paine penned at that time, that very critical time, I will add, was called The Crisis. It was later renamed Common Sense in history, but it was a pivotal time. And I would agree with Glenn Ross in his final statement where he said the cause of freedom is the cause of Christ. Now, we read the Bible. There's really nothing definitive in the Bible that says you have to have political freedom in order to have spiritual salvation. I will admit that. You got to really kind of read between the lines. But that was a critical time. And if you think about it,
the way you read between the lines really quick, though, is if you can only be saved as fast as you gain knowledge. And if you don't have the Bible and you can't gain the knowledge of Christ to know where to look for salvation, you can never gain salvation, because if you first learn to look towards salvation, then you get the knowledge, which is, you know what, you got to have faith under repentance, repentance under baptism. Okay, and these things can't happen without knowledge. Bible delivers the knowledge. Liberty allows us to read the Bible and have that kind of knowledge. Without it, the dictators just dictate to us what we understand. And so it's all about this knowledge idea, and you can't be saved any faster than you gain knowledge about where to turn and what to do to follow Christ, to become his disciple. What am I to do? Many asked the Savior, because they wanted knowledge. And in that knowledge becomes eventually salvation if you turn to Christ, so that his sacrifice can make it possible for you to be saved. Anyway, I digress, except I want to be very clear. The Bible doesn't teach it in direct wording, but the Bible teaches it in principle, no doubt.
No doubt. So, yeah. So I will read an excerpt that I think is very poignant to that point that you made, that Thomas Paine wrote in The Crisis. He said, "Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." And that inspired those 6,000 men that remained under George Washington's command, that inspired them to think that their cause was important enough to sacrifice whatever it took, their comfort, their lives, whatever it took. You know, and I write, Sam, what if Thomas Paine had chosen not to pen those words at that critical time? This was a critical time in not only the history of this country, Sam, but in the history of this world. Think of how different this world would be without the United States of America. If doubt and disillusionment had ruled the day and George Washington had not led his men on to Trenton, where he won that pivotal victory over the Hessian mercenaries and then another victory over Princeton, the course of the war would probably have taken an irreversible turn. And as Glenn Rawson said, and I'll repeat what he said, little did they know how much their sacrifice changed the course of history. And I with Glenn Rawson, would reiterate the very important and very essential fact that, yes, I think political freedom is important for religious freedom. Because if you're not allowed to practice your religion according to the dictates of your conscience, then I don't believe that you are in a position where you can gain that knowledge. And without knowledge, as you said, Sam, we cannot be saved. We need that freedom to obtain that knowledge. And we still have that freedom. We have that freedom today, Sam. A lot of it has been eroded, I will admit. You know, I'm not going to put on my rose-colored glasses and suggest that, you know, we're doing great. You know, we don't need to worry about our leaders. Eventually they'll be changed out and, you know, we'll be restored to constitutional principles. No, We are at a very pivotal situation, just as our founding fathers were in that winter of 1776. And we do need to take it very seriously. Let me read what I wrote in connection with what I just said there. And although we still have it better than most people in this world, Sam, we are frighteningly close to seeing what happens when this whole unsustainable fiat money-based interconnected global system begins to collapse under the weight of debt-fueled inflation. Then we will understand what Thomas Paine meant when he said, and this is a quote, "'Tis dearness only that gives everything its value." And that was in the document, The Crisis. "Then will we hold dear the heritage that our founding fathers bequeathed to us through blood, sweat, and tears and frozen bodies, but only after it is gone and too late to bring it back, except again through blood, sweat, and tears and frozen bodies." I hope we don't get to that point, Sam. "Then we will wish that we had employed the peaceful means that we still have now at our disposal today." And I'm a peace-loving man. I don't want to go to war against anybody who's trying to take away our freedoms. And the war is a cold war still. We can still do it peacefully. We can still do it within the governmental structures that we've been given under the Constitution. But we have to act fast. We can't be complacent. We can't delay, because those means are quickly becoming getting to the point where we would no longer have peaceful means whereby we can redress our grievances, Sam.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us celebrate the birth of the Savior Jesus Christ with purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas gift of freedom is sacred. God does care about human freedom. God does care about you and your life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not giving up, I know a lot of people are kind of giving up and the Sunshine Patriots are bailing from liberty. It's getting too rough. You know, they're ready to call us terrorists, anybody who wants to, you know, stand up and say, we don't want you teaching this to our children, that kind of a thing. But if you're not giving up, ladies and gentlemen, you need to stand in the huge gap and do both carnal and spiritual battle to preserve the sacred cause of liberty. This is not something to joke about or to play games with. Thomas Paine was rather poignant in his words. And the good part is, you know what? The founding fathers and others had the time, made the time, and took the time to read those words and let them sink deep into the fleshy tablets of their hearts. That's what we need to do at this juncture, Chris, is we need to really understand the message of Glenn Rawson, the message of Thomas Paine, the message of the founding fathers, which is, you know what? Liberty is sacred. And you've got to have liberty. You got to be free to worship God. Back in the Bible, in Daniel's time, for instance, hey, they said, you can't pray. And Daniel said, are you kidding me? I'm going to pray. And I will pray. And we know what happened in that wonderful biblical account. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to understand we must preserve religious freedom. For if we lose religious freedom, we lose all freedom. That's really the bottom line. This battle between Jesus Christ and Satan is clear. It began in the war in heaven. Go look at your Bible. And it continues on here today. Quick pause. Sam Bushman and Chris Carlson will come back. We're going to finish talking a little bit about Thomas Paine. We're also going to talk about the fact that the birth of Christ and the birth of America are linked, without a doubt. In fact, our good buddy Chuck Baldwin, well-known pastor, speaker, and more, author, documents this reality big time. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas. Have you got your Donald Trump no action figure yet? Yeah, it's for your favorite Trump supporter. It's guaranteed to satisfy those who want excuses rather than results. It's available now. Where can you get that thing, Chris?
Well, you'll have to swim out about a couple miles off the California coast, and it's buried under a melamine-infected cargo container of baby formula. Just saying, from China. All this is from China, by the way, because Donald Trump failed to balance our trade with China during his four-year presidency. Just saying.
Yeah, and America, by the way, couldn't make a no-action figure. You know, we don't have the parts, we don't have the raw materials, we don't have the labor costs are through the roof, regulations. It kind of reminds you of the joke, what if Noah tried to build the ark today? He'd be in tears, struggling with his governments and regulations and just trying to do the Lord's work and going, man, Lord, the joke is he's just kind of like Tevye looking up to heaven going, Lord, why me? I can't get this done in this hostile environment, you know, and it's kind of like that. So I'm sorry, the action figures, well, they're on delay, but you can go ahead and donate to Liberty Roundtable Live and we will not get you an action figure because it's no action, right? So you just donate, well, and we'll take no action.
Yeah, that's exactly what you'd get anyway, right? But as far as the ARC is concerned, it would have to be about 50 times bigger because instead of just male and female, you'd have to have 52 genders in addition to male and female.
Stop! By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump reveals his stripes. I'm just going to make this clear. It's impossible for Donald Trump to be ignorant of the COVID conspiracy. You know that, right? I just want to say that as he doubles down and quadruples down and defends unproven, unsafe, ineffective, experimental vaccinations. He's not really for the mandate of forcing, but he certainly, you know, doubles, triples down in defense of it, which is very scary as well. So we just thought we'd bring that to your attention. But Thomas Paine really laid out, ladies and gentlemen, the reality for us. If you're not giving up, we need you to stand in the huge gap as Thomas Paine did in his day. Chris?
Yeah, and I think he distributed something like 500,000 copies, and it was imperative, Sam, and this is important, that information get out to as many of the soldiers as possible and the citizens, because the citizens were providing food and clothing and shelter to the soldiers. So they cranked out the copies of that pamphlet, and that did increase the morale of the soldiers and gave them a sense of purpose. And it was lines like this. And I'll read from the pamphlet. The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph, Thomas Paine says. So then I add, so the question then becomes, Sam, how glorious a triumph would you like to achieve? Or, if you do not wish to accrue glory unto yourself, I would then ask, how much glory would you like to glorify the name of your God with? Because I will guarantee you that God is not the author of bondage. There is another God, who we call the God of this world, who is the author of bondage. And he will give you that bondage in exchange for a free bowl of pottage. We just have to sell our divine birthright to get that free bowl of pottage. I, for one,
I say to you, never, ladies and gentlemen.
Never. I would rather risk my life, and that's what these men did, and they were more than willing to do so. We may or may not have to put our lives on the line, Sam. I don't know. I'm not going to say either way, but we should be prepared to if necessary. So let me continue here. Therefore, I will, like our founding fathers, fight for freedom so that there is no mistaking on what side of God's liability asset column I am on. Remember Uncle Ted? He always wants to be in the asset column, right? So as far as my relationship with God, I want to make sure that I am in that asset column, because that's where God wants me to be. Our founding fathers were Christian in the sense that they showed their faith by their works. Remember, a lot of people try to call them deists. I think that's just a way to discredit them or to dissuade us from believing they were Christians. And let me tell you what kind of Christians they were. They were Christians in the sense that they showed their faith by their works. James 2:18. Let me read that from the Bible, Sam. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. And that's exactly what our founding fathers were. They put their lives on the line. They put their honors, their sacred fortunes, and they went to work fighting for a cause that they knew in their hearts was sent from heaven. And that's freedom. Faith is the principle of action. And we will all... Okay, let me read this. This is another James 2:20 scripture. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And we will be dead spiritually, Sam, if our faith is without works. As we have discussed before, God does not expect us to do what we are incapable of doing, but we should do something. And I'm going to read a quote real quick from Edward Everett Hales. And we quoted this a couple of weeks ago. He says, and this is a quote that Ezra Taft Benson, the former Secretary of Agriculture, was fond of quoting. Edward Hales said, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, that I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. And one more statement, and we'll move on, Sam. My fear is that I will one day stand before the judgment bar of God and be compelled to confess that I could have done so much more than I did. That, to me, is the definition of hell, and I do not want to be in that position.
Ladies and gentlemen, this idea of, you know what, I'm only one. And I want you to understand the power of one. And, you know, there's a lot of anecdotes we could use about that. I was one that listened to talk radio back in the day. Now we've been on the radio 25 years. One becomes two, then the few, then the many, right? That's how a real change begins, with one. But I want to really focus on, since it is Christmas Eve, and we are focusing on the Savior Jesus Christ, he was one. No doubt, different than the rest of us. I'm not suggesting that he's, just an average man like we are. I say he's the literal Son of God. So no doubt a powerful one. But what I'm saying is, from one comes the great birth of the Savior Jesus Christ, and then the atonement and his resurrection. And because the power of one was resurrected, he asks us one by one to follow him. And as we do so, ladies and gentlemen, as we turn to the author of our liberty, the giver of life, if you will. Remember, the most important part of liberty is the protection of life. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness, some call property. Okay, this is the power of one. One who made the resurrection possible. And then one, you, me, and our individual agency to follow him. There's two incredible important principles here, agency and love. Chris?
Yep, agency and love. So this is in reference to some comments that Chuck Baldwin wrote and that you sent to me. And he quotes John Quincy Adams. And I'll start with the quote from John Quincy Adams. This was in about 1837. And, of course, John Quincy Adams was the son of John Adams. And a lot of people at that time felt that he was even more brilliant than his father, John. And he made some very powerful and poignant statements, and this is one of them. And this was during a celebration of the 4th of July, or Independence Day. He said, "Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day, and of course that was Independence Day. Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? My comment, Sam, this phenomenon can only be understood if you understand the two most significant attributes of God, love and agency. The atonement of Jesus Christ was the greatest act of love ever exhibited by God. The establishment of the United States of America is the greatest disbursement of human agency ever exhibited by God since the atonement of Jesus Christ. So we've got those two things, love and agency. Without them, without these two gifts, God's children would not be able to achieve exaltation, okay? And that's life with God. Remove one or the other, and God's great plan for our happiness could not be implemented, Sam. It is natural that the three most important holidays in America are Christmas, Easter, and Independence Day. I added Easter to that list that John Quincy Adams gave. By holding these three holiday celebrations sacred, we help to establish a culture where the two most indispensable elements of man's happiness, the atonement and agency, are memorialized. Now you know why these holidays, as well as Columbus Day and Thanksgiving, are demonized by the tares of society and associated with white and now Christian privilege. If the devil and his minions ever succeed in abolishing these sacred holidays, they will have come a long way toward the destruction of what made this country great, Sam. We must never underestimate the value of holiday celebrations in maintaining our culture and, by extension, our greatness as a country.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Baldwin writes this incredible column, "The Birth of Christ and the Birth of America Are Linked." And when you think about that in relation to the Christmas Gift of Freedom by Glenn Rossin, and when you ask the humble question, does God care about human freedom? Then you understand your duty, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not giving up, then you need to stand in the huge gap. You need to do both physical, carnal, and spiritual battle. Okay, I'm not trying to say we need to go to war. What I'm trying to say is Ezra Benton, the Secretary of Agriculture, under Eisenhower, said this: if you lose too much freedom, only blood will bring it back. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to stand up now while it's peaceful to where we don't have to have blood to bring back our freedoms, because I want to prevent losing them in the first place. And that's what we do all year long, but especially when it comes to celebrating the author of our liberty, Christmas, Christ's birthday. And to me, Easter is really important because that's really when he was really born. We know he was born in April if you study history. But I'll take any day to celebrate Christ, Chris.
I'll take every day to celebrate Christ, Sam. I love Jesus.
Amen,
Christ.
Sir.
He's the author of my salvation. And you know what? I'm going to glorify his name, just like Thomas Paine wrote in his pamphlet. I'm going to glorify his name by fighting for the cause that he would want me to fight for, and that is freedom. And I, like you said, I would like to do so peacefully. You know, I don't want to get in a physical battle. But that window of opportunity is closing rapidly, so we need to act. We need to be active. We need to talk to our friends, our families, our neighbors, anybody who will listen to us, and just let them know what the consequences will be if we don't act. And now is the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, agency and love, the two great keys to advocate for and to preserve as we fight for the sacred cause of liberty and turn to Christ, our Savior and the author of our liberty. Final word to you, Chris.
Yes, sir. Without God, we can never win, Sam. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight and be found in the asset column, like Uncle Ted says. Woohoo! Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving Americans everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
God bless you and your family. Wish your family a Merry Christmas from us. Thank you so much, sir. We'll talk soon. There he goes, doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman declaring to you now, we believe in Christ, and this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America, and Merry Christmas.